This is Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal for November 21st, 2019. On Tuesday, the Bar Harbor Town Council adopted a resolution declaring a climate emergency and a commitment to creating a climate action plan. Students from Mount Desert Island High School, College of the Atlantic, and numerous community members filled the Bar Harbor Town Council chambers and overflow room to support the declaration of a climate emergency and a mobilization effort to restore a safe climate, including committing Bar Harbor to achieve net zero emissions by 2030. The resolution requested that the town create a climate mobilization action plan, which would include the, quote, rapid expansion of renewable energy, energy efficiency, and sustainable transportation initiatives within its jurisdiction, as well as other projects to rapidly eliminate community-wide greenhouse gas emissions. While council members expressed reservations about the immediate adoption of the 2030 goal and some of the specific actions and goals within the resolution, most members made clear they were committed to immediate action, voting 5-1 to declare a climate emergency and a commitment to creating a climate action plan. Meetings are scheduled with representatives of the town council and student groups and A Climate to Thrive this Friday. The resolution was presented to the town council by a half dozen Mount Desert Island High School students.
My name is Thomas Korsayam. I'm a senior at MDI High School, and I'm the president of the MDIHS Eco Team. This is Ayano Ishimura, which is a junior, Matilda Allen, a senior, and Sarohi Kumar, a sophomore. We are here because we need to break the silence on climate change. In September, along with the hundreds of youth on MDI and millions of people worldwide, we went on strike to protest the lack of action of our local and national governments on climate change. We are here to present our first demand from that strike.
Imagine a Bar Harbor where the bar is permanently underwater, where there are no lobster boats or traps because of ocean acidification and warming, where there are no whale sightings because they've all moved away, where there are no tourists because it's too hot during the summer, and where Acadia National Park is on fire. This is my future if we do nothing.
Hello, my name is Lily, and I'm a senior at MDI High School. I consider myself blessed to have grown up on this beautiful island. The beauty of the great outdoors, starting with our own Acadia National Park, has always been a huge part of my life. We, as neighbors to this beautiful park, should be able to see more than anyone how much we have to lose if the climate crisis is allowed to continue wreaking havoc in the natural world. However, even more obvious is the effect that this crisis will have on the fishing industries that have been a key part of our local economy for generations. Last year, I participated in the Eastern Maine Skippers Program, sponsored by the Maine Center for Coastal Fisheries, which is designed to educate and engage high school students in the local fishing economy. My team worked on strategies to combat green crab overpopulation, and through this, I was made abundantly aware of the damage that unchecked climate change will have on our local fishing industries. The Gulf of Maine is warming faster than nearly every other part of the world's oceans, and as this happens, it has drastic effects on the species that live here. If waters continue to warm, lobster populations are predicted to shift some 200 miles north, putting them in Canada's waters and cutting lobster populations in the Gulf by 60% by 2050. This will put lobsters out of reach of many Maine fishermen and threatens to destroy an industry that is essential to this island's economy and is the livelihood of many members of our community. Also, warming waters and invasive green crabs are causing severe decline in clam and mussel populations. Once again, this greatly threatens the important shellfish industry, which in 2017 faced its smallest commercial harvest since 1930. It is important that this resolution be passed, not only to protect the beauty of our national park, but also because it threatens the very fiber of our local fishing economy. I understand that this resolution is bold, but it is also necessary. Climate change has become the grave emergency that it is today because of all the years in which we have refused to commit to taking necessary action. Bold is now our only option.
The declaration of a climate emergency is being demanded by our youth because the scientific evidence of the crisis is overwhelming. This crisis must be treated as an emergency by our elected officials who are responsible for our future. Young people throughout Downeast Maine, the state, and the world are confronting how climate change threatens our future and that of our planet. We want to define concrete action steps to resolve the perils of our continued existence. The time has come for our elected officials to see the climate crisis for what it is, the most serious threat to our generation and civilization, and act like it. We are already at 1 degree of warming worldwide. The politically determined 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming of the Paris Agreement is not a safe level of warming. Communities across Maine and the world are already being impacted by climate devastation. If the planet continues to warm, future generations on MDI will no longer be able to experience what past generations experienced here or contribute to the local economy. Sea level in Bar Harbor is rising and accelerating, and the Gulf of Maine is warming faster than the rest of the oceans, driving lobster and other marine wildlife further north each year.
My name is Lawrence Adam Nussline IV, and I have lived in Bar Harbor all my life. I'm a senior at MDI High School as well, and I'd like to tell a story. I want to talk to you about my dad, Lawrence Adam Nussline III, or Larry, as some of you might know him. He's in the Harbor Committee. He's worked for the Whale Watch since 1986 and has been a captain since 1992. Normally, they would head to an area offshore called the Inarspoodic Ridge, which is about 25 miles offshore, or about a 3-hour round trip, to see the whales. In the last 7 years, however, there's been a serious change. I don't know if any of you have been out on one of these trips, but whales can be identified by the marks on their back or their tails. They're all unique. The whales that come back, however, have not done so in recent years. The only whales they can find now are in the Grand Manan Banks towards Nova Scotia, which is about 55 miles offshore, a 5-hour round trip. This means that while before the Whale Watch was able to do 3 trips a day, they can now only do 2. They've added another boat to compensate for this, but overall, it still costs more. You have to put more fuel into it and still end up taking fewer passengers. This obviously means less revenue for the Whale Watch. There are theories as to why the whales are leaving. The Labrador Current that feeds the Gulf of Maine may be warming and weakening. Food is being driven away, and so on and so forth. But all these theories fail to look at the big issue, to acknowledge what we already know. It's the climate crisis. I know one thing, too, and it affects my family. And because of it, my father's longtime career is being rapidly altered. So, too, is my own future filled with these similar woes.
We stand here as the future of our island community, children and students, and implore that the towns of Mount Desert Island, beginning with Bar Harbor, acknowledge the truth. This is a climate emergency. We are here to implore our parents, our family members, our community, and our council to declare a climate emergency and to make this resolution the framework for their response and build a sustainable future for us on MDI. It's time to enter emergency mode together. We know we need a nationwide, worldwide mobilization of people and resources to deal with the climate emergency. We are calling on Bar Harbor to lead and take the first step, act locally, and advocate that all governments take action at emergency speed. In the face of this emergency, we are asking the Bar Harbor Town Council to commit to townwide decarbonization by 2030. The town of Bar Harbor would join the over 1,100 governments worldwide and over 50 local governments in the United States, including South Portland and Portland, in declaring a climate emergency and committing to emergency action. This resolution also calls upon all governments around the world to act now upon the climate emergency and for financial and legislative support from the state of Maine and the federal government required to eliminate greenhouse gas emissions as quickly as possible. The future of MDI depends on it.
As a first step, we are asking the Town Council to form a climate emergency task force to create and implement a climate mobilization action plan, the first ever climate plan on MDI, to help us get to zero emissions within a decade. The resolution dedicates at least 1% of the town budget to emergency climate action. We need real, sustainable solutions that get us off of fossil fuels. Renewable energy like solar and wind, sustainable local transportation, and alternatives for heating our homes are the smallest step we can take right now. This resolution also calls for keeping the concerns of youth and local communities central to Bar Harbor's climate planning process. We need to educate our leaders and local communities on the climate emergency and invite them to actively participate in climate planning processes in order to advocate for their needs. We need everyone on board. We understand that this is much faster and much more comprehensive than the climate program proposed by our governor.
who has pledged that Maine will have a carbon-neutral economy by 2045. We recognize that Governor Mills' Climate Council and its goals are one of the most ambitious climate programs in the country. However, it is not enough, and it is not in alignment with the climate science. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, cutting global greenhouse gas emissions by 45% by 2030 only gives us a 50% chance of staying below 1.5 degrees Celsius and of warming and avoiding catastrophic, potentially irreversible climate feedback loops. In the best case in Bar Harbor, this would mean unbearably hot summers, more frequent extreme weather disasters, and unpredictable precipitation. This is not safe. Would you get on a plane with a 50% chance of falling out of the sky? As Greta Thunberg said, "You are failing us. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line."
The town of Bar Harbor has the opportunity to break the deadly silence around climate emergency and encourage communities elsewhere to declare climate emergencies and commit to responding at emergency speed to restore a safe climate. The youth of Bar Harbor demand comprehensive local solutions that eliminate greenhouse gas emissions and build a fairer economy. This resolution is the first step towards a sustainable MDI for everyone. The youth of Bar Harbor and Mount Desert Island need your support. We ask you to join us because we're out of time. Thank you.
The majority of the councillors appeared sympathetic to the resolution on principle, but wanted time to strategize next steps before formal adoption, a sentiment that seemed to preclude the passage of anything that evening. Council Chair Jeff Dobbs.
Path, because we have to decide, you know, how we're going to do this. Are we going to do this alone? Are we going to require other people to join us? It's not as simple as, emotionally I would vote yes tonight, but I represent many people here in the town, and a lot of them feel the same way as you do, and I feel the same way as they do. But we need to reason this out, and hopefully we will come up with a quick plan, but we're going to listen to each councillor first, and who would like to start?
Council Vice Chair Matthew Hotchman.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you all. Those were very, very eloquent, very impassioned words, and we need to do something. And a lot of the steps that are laid out in here are good starting points. I think one of the things that Jeff alluded to is, I know myself, we just got this over the weekend and not really had time to dive in and look at all of this information, because there's a lot of amazingly well-researched information in here, and it's not fair for us to make a snap judgment one way or the other, because we want to make sure that we give the proper time to vet this. My hope is that we can actually take action on this at our next meeting. I don't want you to think for a minute that we're looking to punt this far down the road. If we take time to read through all this, to research all this, to make an informed decision on this, it will, as far as I'm concerned, be done quickly. We're not looking to, we're not saying we're gonna sit on this for the next 6 months. I'd like to see us discuss this at our next meeting on December 3rd. There's a lot of information in here, and you guys are absolutely to be commended. So I very much appreciate you guys for coming tonight. And for putting this together. This is really amazing work, and rest assured, we will take this absolutely seriously.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. On Tuesday, the Bar Harbor Town Council adopted a resolution declaring a climate emergency and a commitment to creating a climate action plan. Chair Jeff Dobbs.
And I'd just like to say that myself and Gary, because I was, we were the committee that met with the two from the College of the Atlantic, so I had a discussion with the town manager, and one of the things that really popped up to us, we represent the town of Bar Harbor, but in reality, it's not only the town council, our budget that we have to deal with, but I think we really need to get everybody to partner, Jackson Lab, College of the Atlantic, any of the major employers in town. Everybody has to get together, and I think that would be something that you guys are amazing. And We are not trying to escape anything. We are trying to deal with this as quickly as we possibly can, because, like you said, and we all get, this is an international global emergency.
Council Member Jill Goldthwait.
Thank you for coming tonight and issuing what amounts to a challenge to us. Sometimes we need that. In order for this to be meaningful, I think it's going to require, certainly on my part, quite a bit of time to understand the implications of all this, because it's easy to just say, we support this resolution, this is great, congratulations, kids, but if we're really going to do something about this, we have to evaluate the pieces of this and say, can we? And how do we afford it? And how do we design it? And all those kinds of questions. So I don't want to make a quick statement that I support all of this because I don't understand it yet. And Ms. Kumar, I think, is your name?
Yes.
You mentioned the governor's comments and her some of the goals she set, but that it didn't meet some of the maybe international standards?
There's a committee, there's an intergovernmental climate change committee, and they have declared that their science shows that Governor Mills's goals of carbon neutral economy by 2045 isn't in line with what their science shows. So we need a more accelerated, more ambitious plan if we're going to meet what the current science says we need to do.
So what I'm trying to figure out, how would we learn what are effective goals for our town? And how much can a town do by itself as opposed to a state or a country? But and also, what are the goals that are effective rather than creating some goals that really are not sufficient or whatever? I don't know how we do that.
Well, all the information from the intergovernmental group is available. It's publicly available information. That's how we got it for our presentation and for other resources. So that's all available through the internet. And as for goals, we're by far not the first town, even in Maine, to set goals like this. You know, Portland and South Portland are working on passing climate emergency resolutions as well. So there are resources you can reach out to.
Council Member Stephen Costin.
I have a lot of practical concerns. I think other people are touching on it. I think a lot of the very ambitious statements made here are probably outside of the Bar Harbor Town Council's capability to realistically address. I think that some aspects of it come across aggressively. The word demand has been used. I think a better approach would be a more collaborative approach. There are a lot of mentions of different stakeholders in here, but there are some egregious omissions. I just read it for the third time, marked it up. I didn't see any mention of the private sector. One thing I've learned in my brief experience in the political sphere, if you want to call it that, is you don't get anything done by trying to squash your opponents. You have to engage all the stakeholders, even those that you may not feel are on your team, and you have to find ways to make sure at least some aspects of everybody's concerns get addressed. And I think there are certain... I'm not going to go through everything I wrote down, but I'm not sure that this is... I'll try to come up with one example. The town of Bar Harbor, Maine declares that a climate and ecological emergency threatens our town, state, nation, civilization, humanity, and the natural world. That's a very bold statement, and I'm not necessarily saying it's not true, but what I am saying is I personally couldn't raise my hand and affirm that statement at this. I would need scientists in here. I would need, I just don't feel that I have the authority, or anyone who's ever spoken to me about this has the authority to raise their hand and affirm that. That's a very strong statement. The whole thing to me is too strong for the forum within which it's being presented. I have many concerns, and I can't raise my hand.
Council member and founder of the organization A Climate to Thrive, Gary Friedman, his statement in part.
Well, I think that the discussion that we're having tonight is a good start. I think that a lot of the reason that people are here is to get us talking about this issue, because what's happened for the last many years is that public officials have not talked about this seriously, and there's been no action. And we're really fortunate here on MDI to have a group called A Climate to Thrive. And there, I see two board members in the audience here, and there might be more in the overflow. And A Climate to Thrive's mission since 2015 has been to make MDI energy independent by 2030. And that's what the students are asking for tonight, is that the town affirm that as a goal. So we've got the staff of A Climate to Thrive in the room here as well. We have hundreds of people in the organization that have been involved at various levels over the last 4 or 5 years. And I think that group is one that the town could partner with and take advantage of the knowledge and the experience that's there. For example, A Climate to Thrive facilitated the solar panels that are installed in the high school and the first solar farm in a Mara territory here in Bar Harbor and then at the Tremont landfill. So, there's a lot that I think we can bring to the table. I think that you're right, Stephen, that we have to engage the business community. And one of the initiatives that A Climate to Thrive is going to run this coming year is to go to the chamber, which just awarded A Climate to Thrive their Environmental Leadership Award, and invite all businesses to power their operations with the sun. And there's more that this town can do too. You know, we were the first ones in a Mara territory in eastern Maine to have a community solar farm and a municipally powered facility from solar panels out at the Public Works. That was back in 2015, and it was voted on by town meeting here. That was a first step. What the students are asking for tonight is a much larger step. They're saying that this town, the municipal operation, should be net zero by 2030. Like, that is a big step. And we don't know exactly how we're going to get there, but we know that it's completely technologically and financially viable to power any of our schools and our town operations, any business and any home on MDI with the sun. That's currently possible. Now, you know, heating and transportation are big nuts to crack. You know, figuring out how to run our sewer plant, our water operation, all those things, you know, those are going to be big challenges. But we're up to it, and we have to do it. And the final thing I want to say is that I started thinking after I got this resolution from the students about what climate change is going to cost this town if we don't do anything about it. And let me just tell you some of the costs that the town's going to incur directly from climate change. Our combined sewage overflow is going to be an issue that the EPA is going to make us address. It's going to cost $10 million to fix that. And that's because of the intense storm events generated by climate change. We're looking at washouts to the shore path and storm damage to roads, culverts, and other infrastructure from rising sea levels. That's going to cost millions of dollars. The lost productivity and healthcare costs from Lyme disease, add that up. Many of you have personal experience with Lyme. That's a climate change generated disease. Forest fires from red pine destruction from invasive species enabled by climate change and extreme weather and winds. Just think what another fire like the Fire of 47 would do to this island now with the level of development that we have here. It'd look like California. There's nothing that says that just because Maine is a little wetter than California that we're not susceptible to the kind of fires that are going to feed off those dead red pines. And we've had droughts, not this year, but the two previous years. A fire could be devastating, costing millions of dollars in not just damage to the forest, but to adjacent communities and homes. Climate-induced bomb cyclones. You know those storms the last two Octobers that set down and took out power across the state? At our farm, Bar Harbor Farm, we had one of our high tunnels get lifted up by one of those 80-mile-an-hour winds and smashed. That was a $15,000 loss to our farm, and that's just one of the things that that could happen. We, you know, the damages from power outages, the losses from that are unknown. So when you add all these up, it's millions and millions, tens of millions in Bar Harbor, probably hundreds of millions over time. So for the students to ask that we spend $200,000 a year on this is a drop in the bucket in terms of the investment that it's going to take. And what we found at Climate to Thrive is that we can leverage our dollars tremendously. The high school put 1,500 panels on the roof at no cash outlay to the school, and it's already saving them money. The town can do the same thing. So we, yes, we should be educating ourselves. We should be looking at these issues. We should be working with the students, but we shouldn't be delaying. And I'm all for continuing to talk about it, but I'm also feeling very strongly that we need to take action at our next meeting.
Matt.
Council Vice Chair Matthew Hotchman.
All right, so my question for this body is, I seriously feel if we were to take a vote on this today that the vote would fail. So I would like to find a way for us to work with the Climate to Thrive, work with the students to take the meat of this resolution and formulate it into something that will get an affirmative vote from this council.
Council Member Aaron Koff.
I think what Matt was talking about was exactly what you mean. Let's take those steps. What do we need to do to build the plan to bring everybody who's involved in this resolution and in this idea together, whether they've already been given an invitation to the table or whether they need one, whether it's public sector or whether it's private sector. This isn't a problem for one group. This isn't a problem for one person. This is a problem for all of us. We're all here. It affects all of us and the next generation. And then the next generation, if there is one. So these are all things that have to be looked at. I think the idea of forming some type of plan to look at if a summit, I think that's a great idea. Let's have a conversation sometime in the next 2 weeks to see, because as has been mentioned a little bit here and there by each of us, there are policies that this town council has in place that our ordinances have in place to address some of this. The solar farm is a great one. The idea that all of the buildings that the municipality builds has to be
net zero.
So that was something that we put in place a few years ago before I was on council. So those are those little bits here and there are things that we're trying to put together. But I understand from your resolution, you want to really kind of tie it to goals.
College of the Atlantic alum, youth organizer, and researcher with climate mobilization.
I completely agree about the need to involve all of the stakeholders, all of the folks who are going to be involved in trying to reach these goals, so including College of the Atlantic, JACS, et cetera. I think that what was really significant about this resolution is that it sets out a plan to do exactly that. We want to form a task force to make the plan, but we want the commitment from the folks who are saying that this is an emergency, agreeing with our students, with our youth, to make that commitment to set out that plan. What that task force looks like is up to us, absolutely. We have said we'd love representatives from youth, from different organizations that we've named, but that doesn't preclude any other organizations from being part of that process. But, you know, part of this also, we're right. You know, Bar Harbor is not alone. We have the opportunity to lead, and declaring a climate emergency, passing a resolution that puts us on record is leadership, and that lets us have that voice in speaking to the state of Maine, to the federal government, to other towns that is important. So I think I just want to make sure that we're not losing sight of the fact that we need to acknowledge this in a public way, and the Bar Harbor Town Council is our public forum in order to acknowledge things like this. So if we can, in one way or another, in the next few weeks, I've heard from some of the counselors that they're interested in moving forward, you know, declare the climate emergency, acknowledge that it's happening, and set out a process for how to start dealing with it. And that if that includes a summit, if that includes a task force, that's wonderful. But I think what I'm hearing from them is just wanting that recognition from the folks who they're looking to secure a sustainable future for them.
After discussion on next meetings to commit to next steps, the council began to move to table the resolution until further time. But then Councillor Jill Goldthwait had one last proposal, to adopt part of the resolution that declares a climate emergency and a formal commitment to creating a climate action plan. Council Member Jill Goldthwait.
Okay. I am... not in favor of tabling the whole thing tonight, because I do think that there is a climate emergency, and I have no problem making that statement tonight. It's my reservation about the action steps, if you will, that you've laid out. I don't have any problem tonight passing an, I don't know what you want to call it, a statement, a resolve that says the climate emergency is a crisis that threatens us. And then the piece in here that kind of jumps out at me is the development of a climate mobilization action plan. I think that's the action item from tonight. But I think in order to put meaningful flesh on that bone, we need some time to think about those parts and pieces, what we can do, how we work that out, and all that. So I'd be happy tonight to pass the initial concept of the resolution that says this is an emergency and we intend to create a climate mobilization action plan in this town.
Councillors voted in favor of the resolution 5-1. And you've been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced public affairs programming at weru.org.